Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is Thursday, and that is with the sixth day within the octave of the birth of Christ. We are still in the time of celebration and rejoicing. Our God came to us as a helpless infant. Think of that. He came to us. So let us take time to rejoice, to thank him over and over and over again. Thank him. Ask his blessing on your life. Open your heart that God might show you what he has for you. You'll read something, somebody will say something to you, and you say, oh my goodness, I never thought of that, or I've thought of that before. Maybe I should pay more attention to it. There are all kinds of ways that God will let you know. If it's quiet, then just be quiet and wait. God loves you. I almost choke when I say that God loves you, because he does. His love is infinite, but he knows you by name. He knows what you've carried in this life or are carrying in this life. He knows. There's not one person he doesn't know. And he wants to us all, each of us, to draw closer to him than we have been. And just don't say, I have too much to do. If a baby's sick, as I've said to you before, that's understandable. But if, well, I've got this great situation I have at work that I just have to spend more time there, would you just ask God, what are his priorities? What do you need to do? If you have to do it, then do it, and God will come to you again. But if you don't have to, you said to Jesus, sometime when I'm not busy. I don't think we talk to the Lord that way. Please, brothers and sisters, open your hearts so much more to the God who gave himself to us as a baby. We look at the first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have the evil one. He's writing to us. He's speaking to us. We're in that process. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away. But whoever does the will of God remains forever. If you haven't been following Christ as closely as you can, just take one thing and say, Lord, give me grace to live this part of my life the right way. And just keep saying that. It's not going to be, thunder and lightning from heaven, I don't think. But God has heard your word, and he will help you. Trust him. Trust him. Psalm 96. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Give to the Lord, you families of nations. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring gifts and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. He governs the peoples with equity. He reaches out to all of us. Nobody is put outside. He reaches out to each and every one of us. And if we're living a life that's not in accord with the gospel, turn to Jesus and say, "What you have to give me is priceless. I've gotten caught in something. I ask you, please, Lord, will you help me to change?" And just keep saying, as I've said to you before many times, just keep praying that prayer every day, and God will help you. Grace will come to you. Don't give up and say, "Well, he didn't come today. I talked to him 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard." God has his own ways. Wait on him. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 to 40, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Luke says, and this is a reading from Maria von Trapp. Luke says, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." The same Luke who said the child was filled with wisdom would say on the very next page that he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Here we come upon something which we cannot explain by mere study of history, geography, or sociology. Here we come across one of the deepest mysteries of our religion, something which is a divine secret and would never have been found out by men if it hadn't been for divine revelation. You and I can attain to three kinds of knowledge. There is knowledge we get in a natural way. This is the usual experimental knowledge which we pick up as we grow. Then some people also have infused knowledge. That means knowing like the prophets. For instance, things which they couldn't possibly have learned in a natural way. And then you and I will one day be capable of still another knowledge when we shall meet God face to face. And now it is such a marvel to think, from the very first moment of his existence on earth, our Lord Jesus enjoyed this vision. He also saw the Father face to face. He also possessed all this intuitive, infused knowledge. Isaiah knew that already when he prophesied about him, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Since Jesus possessed it all, always, in these two knowledges he could not grow. And then, oh wonder, he is a little boy like yours and mine who can grow in wisdom and grace before God and men. This unique mystery can never be explained. It can only be believed because Jesus had two natures, a human nature and a divine nature in one person. He could advance humanly while he was always in God, with God, while he was God. Our theologians call this the hypostatic union. Just what did that mean now in his daily life? Why don't we begin to ponder about in our hearts? We shall never be finished, but we have all eternity to continue. Learn as much as you can. draw closer to Him. Read His Word every day. Learn more and more. And one of these programs, I'm going to give you a list of books that I want to encourage you to read, but not this time. I just want you to think about setting aside some period of time every day, if you can, if you could just read about the Lord. Maria von Trapp was the famous person from the Trapp Family Singers. He inspired the musical and the film The Sound of Music. We know that. We've listened to that. And that's what she wrote. She said so much. Why don't we begin to ponder about it in our hearts? How God became man for us, that we might be saved. Think of that. God wants to do that for us. He's given us everything He can give us to bring us to Him. Why do we turn away or say, oh, that doesn't, I don't pay attention to that? Why not? Or you say, I'm too old. Somebody can read the Word of God to you. Please, brothers and sisters, learn as much as you can, because this Word, we believe, is living. It's active. It's not just words on a page. It's words that come to us with enormous grace to change our lives. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to do that for us. Brothers and sisters, I know I'm giving you work and it's during the Christmas season, and I know it's time to celebrate, and you should celebrate. But I want you to not just put it aside after the Christmas season is over. Let us take time to really begin to know the Lord more and more. Draw near to Him. Read the scriptures of the day. Ponder them. Think about them in your own heart. You may be part of groups that do that, and that's wonderful. But take time yourself. I think I've said that to you before, but I want to encourage you. Take time yourself to read slowly and just say, Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind, enlighten my heart, that I may know you as you want me to know you. And believe me, brothers and sisters, God will do that. He looks out for those who cry to Him, for those who seek Him, for those who want Him. And if you say, Lord, I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, God wants to draw you closer to Himself. If you can find a Bible, find it. Read the passages that I'm giving you and ponder them. Because God wants you to come to heaven with Him one day. Each of us. I don't want to go to hell. I certainly don't even want to go to purgatory, though I'm sure I'll spend some time there. But I know that I'm going home to God. I'm going home to God, where every tear will be wiped away. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.